many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9 to 16. 1 Timothy 5, 9 to 16. A widow who is put on the list for support must be a woman who is at least 60 years old and was faithful to her husband. She must be well respected by everyone because of the good she has done. Has she brought up her children well? Has she been kind to strangers and served other believers humbly? Has she helped those who are in trouble? Has she always been ready to do good? The younger widows should not be on the list, because their physical desires will overpower their devotion to Christ and they will want to remarry. Then they would be guilty of breaking their previous pledge. And if they are on the list, they will learn to be lazy and will spend their time gossiping from house to house, meddling in other people's business and talking about things they shouldn't. So I advise these younger widows to marry again, have children, and take care of their own homes. Then the enemy will not be able to say anything against them, for I am afraid that some of them have already gone astray and now follow Satan. If a woman who is a believer has relatives who are widows, she must take care of them and not put the responsibility on the church. Then the church can care for the widows who are truly alone. My theme for reflection is care that builds a community. Care that builds a community. If you have ever tried to organize a family meal where everyone has different needs, abilities, and expectations, you will know that care is never just about kindness. It is also about wisdom. Someone must cook, someone must clean, someone must decide who needs help most urgently. In 1 Timothy 5, 9 to 16, Paul invites the church into that kind of loving but thoughtful care, showing that compassion without discernment can exhaust a community, while discernment without compassion can wound it. The problem Paul addresses is not a lack of generosity, but confusion about responsibility. The early church was deeply committed to caring for widows, who in the ancient world were often economically vulnerable and socially exposed. Yet resources were limited, and good intentions alone were not enough. Some widows were genuinely destitute, with no family support, and lives marked by faithfulness and service. Others were younger, capable of rebuilding life through remarriage or work, but at risk of drifting into idleness and destructive patterns if they became permanently dependent on church support. Without clarity, the church risks being overwhelmed and its witness weakened. Paul's response is practical and pastoral. He distinguishes between true widows and younger widows, not to rank human worth, but to match care to real need. Older widows with a record of hospitality, service, and faithfulness are to be honored and supported by the church. Their lives testify that receiving care is not a failure, but part of mutual belonging in Christ. Younger widows, however, are encouraged toward active, purposeful living, forming households, managing responsibilities, and resisting the temptations of idleness that can erode faith and community trust. At the same time, Paul firmly places responsibility on families. Believing relatives are called to care for their own so that the church can focus its energy on those who truly have no other support. Long before Paul, the Old Testament had already woven care for widows into the heart of God's justice. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. Psalm 146, verse 9. The story of Ruth also offers a living example where family loyalty, personal initiative, and communal responsibility come together so that vulnerability becomes the seedbed of new life. Paul stands firmly in that tradition, shaping a church that mirrors God's ordered compassion. So what does this mean for us today? It means Christian care is neither reckless charity nor cold administration. It is love structured by wisdom. Churches are called to protect the vulnerable without infantilizing them, to encourage responsibility without shaming need, and to recognize that family, community, and church each have distinct but overlapping roles. It also challenges us personally. Faith expresses itself not only in prayer and worship, but in how we shoulder responsibility for one another. It was Augustine of Hippo who once wrote that charity is no substitute for justice withheld. I would add that justice, rightly ordered, is one of charity's deepest expressions. Care that builds a community must strengthen dignity, purpose, and faith, not dependency or resentment. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where am I called to offer support that empowers rather than controls? Number two, how might my family, church, or community better share responsibility for those who are vulnerable? And now our practical exercise for the day. Identify one concrete way to support someone's dignity. Offer practical help that enables independence, or check in with someone who quietly carries responsibility for others. Gracious God, defender of the widow and guardian of the vulnerable, teach us to love with both open hearts and wise hands. Free us from careless generosity and fearful restraint. Shape our families and churches into places where responsibility is shared, dignity is honored, and no one is forgotten. Through Jesus Christ, who gathers us into one household of grace. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.